All right. Well, I remember a few days ago, I think I was talking with a couple different ones, and I said, you know, normally this time when we begin to share during the time of either our VBS during the summer or these last couple years during the Christmas VBS, we've had a few days already in. And so we begin to share about really report of how the Lord's been working and different testimonies from the time. And I said, we're only going to have one day in by the time we come together. If you were with us today, the Lord packed about 3 days into that one day with different testimonies. So the Lord really answered that desire to give us testimony to begin to share during this time. And that's a big part of my desire tonight is to begin to share what the Lord's been doing and really beginning to put on our hearts as we both prepared for this time and as we've been able to experience the Lord's favor through this first day that we had. And so if you weren't aware, and I think everybody in this room is, we had Christmas Vacation Bible School start today. You can see some of the different items. We tried to clean up what we could, so but you can see some of the things. But it really has been a wonderful time. We had 27 children come today. We did have a number of ones come that aren't a part of our body. Some that we met for the first time, some that have been coming in years past. And so we had some good opportunities as the parents begin to bring them in. And it was neat for me to watch and get to see this each year. But there were some that had just come, I believe, maybe once before this year. And I watched them almost immediately recognize different ones in the body. And there was seemed to be a comfort level to begin to run up and want to begin to talk and get to see their friends they met and made the year prior and some of the different ones that were leading the groups. And so that was an encouragement for me. And I believe we had, three. Did we have, how many did we have make a decision? Was there three or four? It was four.
I think it was three. Four prayed, but three made.
Three made a decision, so just in the one day. So when I said the Lord opened up a lot of doors and provided testimony in just the one day, he gave us something to talk about tonight. So I'm very thankful for that. What I desire to do as we start, and Donald, you've got a mic with you. I wanted to allow Savannah, my wife, to share first from where she's at. Don't worry, ladies. Nobody has to get on to me. I'm not letting her get up. She was up enough today. So, but I mean, I'll allow you to share, but there was a particular morning, it was probably 3 or 4 months ago.
It was
now,
a while ago.
That you woke up and it was early, and the Lord had really put some things on your heart and just immediately seemed to give you really all 3 days almost.
Mm-hmm.
I remember coming out and you were already typing and had like a page already typed out on your computer. And so what was the burden that the Lord put on your heart for the children this year?
So the story that the Lord had laid on my heart, and really it was, like you said, I just woke up and God was like, this is what I want you to do, and was the story of the 10 ladies, and 5 of them have oil and 5 of them don't, and that getting ready for Jesus' coming, and that anticipation of Jesus coming, and I'm sure you guys can feel it too, that urgency, I guess, really, to really get God's love out there into the world and let people know, listen, he is going to come. And even as all of the things that have gone way awry have gone awry, I just keep coming back to Jesus is going to come. And if this is the last time that I have an opportunity to share the love of who he is and to share the gospel, then I want to do that. And he's been very faithful to, like you said, even today, it was like, oh, this came up. Oh, it's fixed. Oh, this came up. Oh, it's taken care of. And it was just wonderful to see how God was doing that. And I know that he is allowing those kinds of things to happen because our hearts are to share the gospel. And I feel like nothing is better than thinking of Christ's coming at this time. But it's not just the coming when he was born. It's the coming again. And so for me, it was just that culmination of, well, we should be celebrating both. And the Lord has really just blessed that by sending us the children that he did. And even the parents, you know, like when they come in and they're like, wow, you know, oh, you remember my kid. And it's like, of course I remember your kid. Your kid's adorable. I mean, they are. They're all so cute. I can't. And some of them we've known for many years. I know that Bobby had Wesley in his group. Wesley started out coming when he was like 3, and now he's 9. And so we have these people that have been coming in year after year after year, and I know that they're seeing Christ every time. And if that's the one thing that we can leave with them is Jesus loves you, then we should be doing that every opportunity we get. Especially now, it's like, oh, we got to get it in when we can. I feel like we're those people with our oil. We're being ready. So.
It was a unique day. I told Savannah, I think it's the first time in 13 years her and I were at church without any of our children. They're all sick, so they were all home with Diane today. But every step of the way, the Lord just provided.
He did.
And we could see his care through that. But as we said at the beginning of the day, no matter what had to get adjusted and changed, if they walked away knowing the love that Christ has for them.
Right. I thought even if we ended up all spending time, just all of us together, I was like, even that would be okay because Jesus would still be present and his love would still be there.
Thanks, honey. What I desire to do as well is we had those children that had raised their hand and there were opportunities to begin to pray with them. And with some, you know, if you've been with us in the VBS, we'll say, you know, we've been able to pray with this child 3 or 4 years in a row. But what better opportunity than to begin to spend time with those children, reminding them of the love of their Savior. And so I know not all of us got to always, even if you were here, you didn't get to hear all of the testimonies or really the report of those open doors. And if you weren't here with us during the day, we want you to share in this too, because even if you weren't here, I know everyone in this room has been praying and encouraging, maybe coming along even leading up to this time as well and helping to prepare. And so what I was hoping to do is we have a few within our body that are here tonight that had an opportunity to sit down and pray with those children. And I know for each one of them, because I was hearing it, the Lord was encouraging and strengthening them through that opportunity. And God really had prepared the hearts of those children before they even sat down with them. And so what I'd like to do, Donald's got the mic, and I did let him know that I was going to call on him. But Justin, I'm going to start all the way over there with you, buddy. You had some opportunities the last few VBSs with some of these children, but you got to talk with a couple young men this afternoon, but you had one in particular that had a very different response as you began to share with them.
Yeah. You know, I've been doing this the past couple of years, and usually when you pull, one of the kids aside, they're like, oh, yeah. You know, I know what I said. I know what they said, and, you know, I want to pray. what was the second one's name?
Sale.
Yeah, Sale. So Sale was the one, second kid I pulled aside, and he goes, I said, do you remember what Miss Savannah said? He's like, nope. I don't remember. I was like, do you know why you raised your hand? No, I don't remember. I'm like, okay, we'll try again tomorrow. but the other little one, he understood, you know, what he was doing and why he raised his hand, and he prayed with me. So he accepted the Lord. So that was pretty cool to see, because he was just a little. You know, I always get nervous. I'm like, well, what am I going to say to him? You know, like, how am I going to present this? But the Lord gives me the words to say as I'm talking to him. So, I think that was Max, right? What was his name?
Andrew.
Yeah. Sorry. It's been a long day. but it was cool to be a part of that. It was cool to be a part to see these little kids come to know Christ. So,
and it, as you were sharing with me and you and I have talked, it really was that equipping that the
yep.
Lord encouraged you in,
yep.
that he gave you those words at that right time.
Yeah.
And because you didn't really know, I kind of pulled you in. It was you almost immediately sat down and talked with him. So there wasn't a chance for you to really prepare anything. Yeah. Thank you, brother.
No problem.
Mr. Pete, Robert, you got an opportunity to talk to another one of the young men today as well.
I did. His name was
Elias.
Elias. Yeah. Elias. I was about to say.
He came to church this past Sunday as well.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. Sweet. Yeah. Well, thank you, because I was looking at Wesley whenever Savannah was talking, and I missed it. So thank you for letting me know that he did raise his hand. So I was able to talk to him. But yeah, Elias raised his hand, and it was after snack that I took him out and on the back porch and asked him if he, it's already been a while, so I was like, do you remember raising your hand during Ms. Savannah speaking? And he's like, yes, I do. So, okay. And do you know why? He's like, yes, because I did bad. I'm bad. Okay. And I said, so you were doing that to receive the Lord into your heart? He's like, yes, yes. I said, have you done this before? Because he was talking like in such a way where it seemed like he had done it before. And he's like, yes, I do it when I get in trouble. Okay. He said, and I do it when I'm just having a bad day and I feel lonely. Okay. These are all good reasons to talk to Jesus, absolutely. And I said, but you know that when you accept the Lord into your heart, you don't necessarily need to do it again. I mean, if you want to pray again, go ahead. But at that point, you just need to pray for forgiveness if you've done something bad, or if you just want to talk to Jesus, you can just talk to him. And he was like, oh, okay. And so, yeah, I was able to share with him that, and I asked him if he wanted to pray again, and if he fully understood what that meant to pray to ask the Lord to come to his heart. And he told me, he's like, yeah, I know that it's because I'm bad that I need that. Good. But the Lord will, if you continue following his will for your life, will begin to make you more like him. And I said, do you want that? And he's like, yeah. So well, do you want to pray again? He's like, yeah. So we prayed, and then afterwards I was like, now you don't got to pray that particular prayer again. The Lord is with you now, and he's going to remain with you. He's not going to go away. And he's like, okay. And I said, now obviously if you do something bad again, ask for forgiveness, but you know, you follow his will for your life. You seek to be more like Christ, and he'll lead you. And he just was grinning from ear to ear. He's like, okay, yeah. And so it was a special moment.
Lord had really been preparing the hearts of these children this week. And I think it was this past VBS you had a young man who came to you and already acknowledged the sin that he knew was in his life, and then it happened again.
Samuel.
Today.
Yeah, that was Samuel last
summer. It was Samuel last summer, time. Yeah. Which you had him again.
Right. And then a year before that was Wesley, the summer before that was Wesley.
And so it's a, these are children we haven't had opportunity with to begin to really share truth with and share the gospel with, but yet we see the Lord preparing those hearts ahead of time.
Right.
Thanks, brother. Miss Kim, if you want to just hand it right up to Miss Kim Phelps. Now, how many children did you end up talking to today? Did you end up talking to two or one?
I did.
You had two.
What a privilege. Wow, what a privilege to be able to be here and share the gospel with these children and to be that light of Christ to them. It's truly something that I truly don't take lightly, and I'm so grateful that I'm able to, you know, that God would even use me. It reminds, well, first there were two little girls, and they remind you, first I have to tell you, and some of you know this story, but my testimony is about two little girls in a VBS. And I was Catholic, so we didn't have VBS, but I was sent to a VBS in the summertime. And, you know, this age, especially the age that we had, that I have, you know, they're just, it's that that time of their life where they want to raise their hand. You know, they, it's a right thing to raise your hand to Jesus. Yes, I want Jesus into my heart. You know, they're still able to say, well, yeah, that sounds like, that's a good thing. You know, mm-hmm. I should want that. So when I was at VBS, my cousin and I, we both raised our hand. And I didn't remember ever doing, I don't remember that at 5-year-olds, but my cousin does. And she reminded me several years ago of that. And I was just so amazed to think that, wow, she remembered, but I didn't. But yet now she's telling me, and God had my hand, his hand on me, and even at that age, even though I, you know, rebelled and didn't accept him and commit my heart to him, or he saved me when I until I was 28, but, you know, there was something there, and I got to believe that these little hearts, even though they'll maybe stumble along, but God heard that those little hearts say yes to him, and these two little girls did today too. Mm-hmm. And I got the opportunity. One goes to our church, one doesn't. But when I both showed them our bracelets, which are so cool, those bracelets are really helpful just for a visual too. They both, especially the one that goes to our church, they, you know, she immediately knew all of it, you know, and I flipped it up.
She's telling you the gospel.
Yeah. I was like, well, you know this. I said, you know, you want Jesus in your heart? Yes. And I said, well, let's pray. And after we went through that, you know, the gospel, we prayed. And she prayed. I said, you know, pray with me. And she did. And so did the other one. You know, they both did. So, yeah, maybe they were both raising their hand, you know, because of the other, because they were friends, you know, they're friends, they came together. But I just believe that God, of course, hears those, knows those hearts, you know. And I just am so, when I think about the, whoever that woman was that took my cousin and I into another room off to the side or wherever it was to share the gospel with us and to pray with us. You know, I just hope someday, if she only knew what happened to me, you know, mm-hmm. that, you know, I mean, she was hoping, but, you know, maybe someday in eternity, I'll be able to thank her that she didn't shy or wasn't ashamed of the gospel to share that. And so, yeah, really thankful for that.
The very thing the Lord used to move your heart is the very thing he allowed you to take part in.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah, that's really why I just love to do that, because that's my first step towards Jesus. So,
thanks, Miss Kim. Thanks. Thank you, Donald. Thank you. You know, if you could open up your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 2. It is Christmas time coming up, right? I was giving thought to the lessons that we had in place for the children this week. And every time, and I've said this before, and the youth have heard me say it a number of times, but any time we begin to prepare and go through a particular lesson, a particular time of teaching, the Lord, without exception, makes it applicable and begins to give opportunity for us to live those things out. And so as I thought about these times in which we get to serve together as a body, and I thought about these three passages that we had for the children this week, I really saw, even just today, all of these begin to play out. Luke chapter 2, we know what's beginning to come about well in this chapter, but seemingly for them, out of nowhere, a census comes in. And the census comes in, and then there's got to be movement that begins to come. And I think about times and we definitely had testimony of this today. Unexpected things begin to come in. Changes begin to come in. Curveballs, whatever you want to call them. Things begin to come in, and it can be really easy to get swept up in them, right? It can be really easy to get caught up in them and begin to get anxious, begin to get concerned, begin to get unsure of what's going to begin to come, and maybe even get inconvenienced by them. But what we begin to see is it's because this census begins to come in, the Lord is doing a moving in the midst of this. The census comes in, if you look with me, verse 2, it tells us that there's a census taken. You go down, and everyone in verse 3 was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. We know that that begins to move Joseph and Mary, and they begin to move as you go down in verse 5. It says, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child, while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. I think about how many times for us we think about the way in which our Savior came. The lowliness of the setting, the humility of the manner in which he came. But it was this census beginning to come in that the Lord was using to move in just the right manner to fulfill what he had promised to do. And so often I think of things we had come in even today, and we can get swept up and we can get concerned and we can get frustrated, or we can begin to trust that God knows what he's doing, that he's sovereignly in control. And not only does he move them in to begin to fulfill this, but every time I think of this particular chapter, I have to think of the shepherds. And so in verse 15, it says, and the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. God was opening a door and allowing these shepherds. And I think about the shepherds, and they're just out there, you imagine, night after night. It's not a glamorous position. There's not a lot of fanfare to it. And yet, just faithfully being where God had placed them, he opens a door, begins to allow them to go and see the Savior that night. Throughout this, and if you look with me in Matthew chapter 2 as well, we had the second day, and we had these magi begin to come in. And these magi, they're on their own volition, they're not aware of some of the scheming that begins to go on. But it tells us, as we go farther down in chapter 2, that verse 12, they were warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod. So the magi left for their own country by another way. So again, God begins to bring warnings in through the time. He begins to bring boundaries in, begins to bring things in, but he's really protecting us from something. These magi come in, says they're coming to begin to worship. They're looking for the Savior, and you can imagine if they got caught up in a scheme to begin to reveal him. And yet God protected them at just the right time to begin to move them, to keep them from returning and giving that message. And so I think about these passages, and I think about, as we go through these times of serving, there are things begin to come in that we don't expect. There are things that catch us off guard. And yet in each one of these cases, if we will just trust in what God is doing, we get to see him work. We get to actually participate, even at times, in the work that he's doing. And for me, as we go year by year through these different times, not only in VBSs, but times we get to come together and serve, it's so easy to get thrown off course, that flesh and that fear and anxiety to begin to come in. But as I think about these messages that we're sharing with the children today and tomorrow as well, we see God sovereignly moving at just the right time. And it's a reminder to me as these things begin to come in, and whatever we find ourselves doing, however we're serving, to wait on God, to trust that if he's moved us, he's closed the door, he's moved us in a certain way, there's a plan. There's a reason God's doing that. And one of the things I saw today is we had to move different ones around in different ways, and it could seem to be overwhelming. what I watched is every time we began to move somebody into an area that maybe they didn't think they were going to be, God seemed to encourage and strengthen that person. They had no idea coming in today they were going to be there. And yet, God knew exactly where they needed to be at the exact right time to begin to allow to see him work. And I watched him equip, as we were talking about, Justin, and I watched him begin to prepare hearts. I watched him begin to do this work, and we could never plan for that. Joseph, the shepherds, the magi, they could never begin to plan and orchestrate and know right where to be at right time. And yet God knew those things, and he began to move. And it's a reminder for me to take that step back and begin to trust him. And I believe we got to see, not only as we were able to proclaim this, and I think today it was the excitement, right, of the excitement of looking forward to him coming. And then tomorrow, and talking about that endurance that he begins to bring, we got to experience those today. And to me, that makes it very real. And Pastor Gary, one of the things I always appreciate you share is the world can be very entertaining, and they do that a lot better than us, but the one thing the church can do is be real. And what I was so thankful for is, as I step back tonight and begin to dwell on today, God's allowing us to be very real for us as we share these things. And I don't think any of us would want it any other way, because we've seen fake, and that's the last thing we want to be as a church. And so I'm thankful for those things. And the third day, as in Matthew 25, if we just want to, and honey, you mentioned some of this. This was really one of the passages that the Lord had put on your heart that morning, and it was really kind of the theme for the week. Jesus is coming. And you have this parable of the 10 virgins here in chapter 25. And we know the parable, but you have the 10, and verse 2 says, five of them were foolish and five were prudent. We know we get down towards the end, and you have those that were foolish, and though they knew that there was a time in which he was coming, they were lackadaisical in it. There was not a prepared heart. There was not a love and a desire for the coming. And what we see as a result of that is you have these who are going to knock on the door, and yet it's shut. We want to be those that are prepared for him to come. That's the desire that's of our heart. And there should be this expectation and anticipation around that. And he says in verse 13, he says, be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour. And one of the things that I really enjoyed this, I keep wanting to say this morning because we're so used to the morning time, but this afternoon as we began to come together, and we did have different things, we began to move around. What I was hearing was an expectation. What I was seeing was an anticipation for what the Lord was going to do. That's not of our strength. That's not of a hope and of ourselves, because there was things we didn't know what we were going to do, how we were going to begin to move things around. But we knew God was doing a good work in the midst of that. And we knew that he was bringing these children in at the right time for a reason. And we were able to have an expectation. But one of the things that anytime we have these times of vacation Bible school, and I know for mom during the summertime, and us at Christmas, we're not only thinking of these themes for the children and their families coming in, but God really begins to burden our hearts for all of you as well. Because I don't believe that it's just us ministering to those children, but I believe God is doing a work within our body as we begin to serve together as well. And so we're not only praying for those, but leading up to it, we're praying for all of you. God has put these things on our heart for this family too. And this is the work that we've begun to see him do. And there was three things that were on my heart as I've been praying about this week coming up. I think about him coming. And that's what we're proclaiming to these children. Him coming as a child in that manger, but as Savannah said, him coming again too, and the preparation of that heart. And as I began to talk to the Lord about this, there was really three things on my heart that anticipation does, that expectation does within the heart of a believer. And the first is, if you could turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. The first thing I really begin to see God doing is, as we begin to look towards him coming, is there's a clarity that comes in. There's a clarity of how we begin to spend our time, what it is we begin to do, what is it we begin to focus on. And so, if you look at me in verse 8 of Ephesians 5, it says, "You were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." So, first and foremost, what is it that we're doing? Scripture makes it clear. What does light do? It begins to reveal, begins to make things clear. And so, what we're told right out of the gate is we should be walking as those who are walking in Christ. We're walking in that revealing of what needs to come about within our life. We're not getting swept up. We were formerly darkness. We were formerly of this world, but not anymore. You go down to verse 9, it says, "The fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth." And we're trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. That's the clarity of what you and I are doing in this time. How are we preparing our hearts for this? We have that passage in Matthew 25. What does that begin to look like as a body? What are we wanting to live out? Because a part of us being real as these different ones come into our body and visit in this time is we want to be living it out. We don't want it to just be words. It says in verse 11, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead expose them. I think about the joy. And you got to hear the testimonies of some of the ones that got to pray. And the fruit that God began to bring out of a time like this. And there's no greater joy than seeing that work begin to come out. But that doesn't happen when we're in darkness. It happens when we're walking with him in light. If you go down verse 15, this is one that, as the years have gone on, these two verses, God has really begun to knit them on my heart. "It is therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil." There's a lot of things we can spend our time doing. And we oftentimes say, if you were to compare us generations past, we kind of live like kings, and that we can go anywhere or do different things or have different opportunities to take part in many different activities and things of that nature. But we don't know the time that we have. And there's so much of the darkness of the world around us. Are we making the most of it? Are we taking the opportunity to listen to the Lord leading us and make the most of the time that we have? Because the days are evil and we don't know how many of them we have. We don't know how much opportunity we have. He says, "So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." I think about verse 18. It says, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." You know, one of the things we've talked about recently, I think Pastor Josh, you mentioned it at a men's prayer study, but we've been seeing more and more aggression coming in. And I even saw it today. I tried to go to a store or do something, and there was a harshness that was just there and an overwhelmedness of the different ones I interacted with. And I was almost amazed at the things I was hearing and seeing, and aggressiveness. It can be very easy to begin to look for comfort from the world in those times, begin to just try and dull the pain. It's what those things do, right? But what he says is be filled with the Spirit. And so those are times, I remember I was walking out of that store and I'm just talking to the Lord. I'm going, "Lord, you've got to prepare my heart for this. I need to be led by your spirit, because everything in my flesh wants to fight back, wants to begin to retreat. But Lord, you have us here for a reason. And I believe that's a part of the clarity that he gives us. And he tells us in verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. And there's these opportunities that the Lord gives us with each other. And I experienced that, and I came here today, and I just began to watch all of you encouraging one another, beginning to talk about these passages that we're sharing this week, singing songs together with one another. There's an encouraging and a strengthening the Lord begins to bring in that. We could take a lot of other measures to begin to try and fight back against that darkness. But he goes, and even if you look in verse 12, he says, "It's disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret, but all things become visible when they are exposed by the light." We could go and fight back against that harshness that's out there, or we could just rest in the Lord, be filled with his spirit, watch him begin to reveal things around us. Watch that light begin to uncover the things that are there. And we've watched children come in during these times that have been very hard towards the things of the Lord to begin a week. And we could go and try and wrestle that out of them, argue it out of them. But I've watched just beginning to see that light amongst the body. And I've watched hearts begin to soften, begin to melt back down. That's what the Lord is doing in that time. And to me, that brings me great clarity of what do I do with these times that we have. The second thing I had, if you look at me in 1 Peter chapter 4. You look at me right at the start in verse 1. It says, "Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin." You can put in there that word purpose, really the mind. Mind, the same desire, the same focus, the same mission that we're here for. He says, "So as to live the rest of the time in the flesh no longer for the lusts of men, but for the will of God." And verse 3 is where it really hits home for me. It says, "The time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles." To me, thinking of his coming brings great conviction. Brings me clarity, brings me conviction. There are things in our lives that need to change, that need to look more like Christ, that are not aligned properly. There are things that God begins to reveal that we're still living for the desires of our own flesh. God begins to reveal those things. And as I think these times in which we begin to serve together, especially these times where we're together day after day after day, God begins to unearth and reveal things. And I know I'm not going to try and decide what God's revealing in your hearts. I'm not trying to think psychoanalysis on everybody else. I'm talking personally. God will begin to reveal things in my heart in these times. And I won't even always know they're there. But if I'm thinking about him, if I'm desiring for my heart to be prepared for him to come, then there should be conviction there. That if there is still that desire of the flesh in there, I want those things out. I want those things to be removed. I don't want to be led by that flesh anymore. I want that conviction to be present and begin to actually not only be something that's thought about, but something that actually is lived out and has changed at that point. The third thing, if you could look with me in John chapter 16. I mentioned I'm not giving any sort of praise or hope in times past, because as I've thought about it, We could say the good old days, but Scripture tells us that things are going from bad to worse. So that just means they were bad then. Now they're just getting worse. Doesn't say from good to bad. It says from bad to worse. So, but we have seen that bad to worse. We have seen that hardness come in. And at times it seems like the world is winning. Seems like there's a victory there. And in the moment, if we're thinking temporally, sometimes there is. Sometimes there it seems to be that the world is coming out ahead, that those difficulties begin to overwhelm, the harshness begins to overwhelm. But I have to come back to, if I think about him coming, and if you look at me in verse 32, he says in verse 32, "Behold, an hour is coming and has already come, for you to be scattered, each to his own home, and to leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world." There should be a confidence that God is beginning to bring into our hearts as we think about his coming. All these things that we encounter, the harshness, the coldness, not only do we not begin to fight back in those same devices, but we should have a confidence because he's already won. Mm-hmm. And for the things we begin to encounter, if you look at me in 1 John 5, some of you probably already know the verse that I'm going to and you're saying it in your head. That's good. But we're going to turn there anyway. Chapter 5, 1 John and verse 4, it says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." There is a victory that God has already. The things we begin to encounter, and I was thinking about this passage, and I just wanted to briefly, this was a little while back, but we had some different things going on in our neighborhood, and there had been a coldness and a harshness with some of the different ones that would sort of congregate in the cul-de-sac of our in front of our house, and we've had things taken and things sort of trashed at times out there, and it's been very easy at times for me to have to fight off that flesh that wants to come in and to begin to be hard back and begin to be angry in my heart. And I remember we had a young lady that had pulled up in her car, and I remember the Lord had brought conviction in my heart that in yours as well. We began to just pray for these different ones that were coming up, and we had taken a Bible out to this young lady, and she'd had her children in the back seat, and in my flesh it was easy to begin to look and go, "Oh, they're just out here to cause trouble. Somebody's parked in front of my house. They don't have any reason to be here." We go out and we begin to talk with her, though, and her name was Nike. Well, what's the word overcome? Maybe you got a swoosh on your shoe. Is Nike. And to me, as I'm beginning to have that interaction, I'm going, "I hear you, Lord. There's a victory. There's an overcoming that you've already provided. And I can begin to experience that, but not if I'm in my flesh. Not until I begin to put my hope and my confidence in you." And to me, these are things that I've been so encouraged to begin to watch within this body as we serve together. I enjoy getting to serve with each one of you. Not just this week, but any time we begin to come together. Because I'm getting to watch those victories. I'm getting to watch those overcoming. But we want to prepare our hearts for that time. We don't want to be those that take lightly him coming. We want to be those that desire to be growing, to be walking with him, to be in the light, not that old darkness of the flesh. And so, in the desire to keep us too long tonight, I know we got the little ones in here with us, and I look forward to what God does this week, and you begin to experience some of those testimonies, share them with one another. Encourage one another with that. You got an opportunity to see God work. You got an opportunity to talk with one of these children. Don't keep it to yourself. You share it with one another. Watch how the Lord begins to build up the body through that. Because we're one body. We're all together in this. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you tonight, Lord, we've gotten to watch you work. We've gotten to watch your love, your faithfulness, your endurance. Lord, we've experienced it. I've been amazed to begin to watch how you prepare hearts at just the right time. Lord, not only within this body to prepare for these times, but Lord, the hearts that you bring in, you know just the right time. There may be some that we look and we didn't see this year. Maybe some that don't make it. Lord, what we've seen is the ones that do walk through these doors, it's at the right time. And Lord, that's why our confidence and our hope is in you. Not in our own devices, our own understanding, but in you. Lord, I thank you for bringing clarity into our lives, revealing to us how to spend this time that you've given us. Lord, I thank you for not leaving us the way that we are, bringing conviction in, revealing to us what needs to change in our life. And Lord, I'm thankful that you have the victory, that you've overcome this world, that we have a faith in you that continues to overcome the things that we encounter in this world. Well, that gives us a confidence that, Lord, if we're anchored in you, cannot be shaken. Lord, I thank you for all of these things, for making us a family, for allowing us to participate in this work with you. We get to go to work with Dad this week. Lord, and I just thank you for that blessing. Lord, may we continue to be strengthened wherever you begin to call us to serve, whatever it looks like, wherever it is within this church, that, Lord, you would just strengthen us for that work. We would do it in the power of your Spirit and not our flesh. Lord, we thank you and praise you in your name. Amen.